How did your parents come to the United States? When, at what time period, can you give me an approximate year or what time they came to the United States and what it was like as immigrants to come here?
Well, my father came here when he was, I don't have the exact dates, but my guess is that he came here when, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1885, somewhere in there. And he left Poland when he was only 14 years old, which indicates he was a real aggressive young boy. He came to this country totally unaware of what he was in for, but he had the spirit and the ambition to get ahead. Probably that was what motivated him to leave Poland, where his father in turn was a local politician and a very influential member of the community. Apparently there was some disagreement with his father, and that was one reason he thought he'd go on his own, indicating that he was very independent. When he came here, he tried to associate himself with people who would be in a position to help him. So he became acquainted with a young man who was born here and who understood the conditions and in this country, so that he could in turn learn enough from him to get ahead. And being as ambitious and as aggressive as he was, in a short time he became a recognized member of the original immigration of with the immigrants who came here about time he did. He worked for a short time as a carpenter in the American Car Foundry, and learned enough. In the meantime, he attended night school. He learned to be a carpenter, and he took a business course, and he learned to be an administrator. He learned enough about how to conduct the business so that he went into business for himself.
Was that difficult to do in that time? Do you feel that was probably difficult for him?
It was difficult, but it wasn't difficult for anybody who had the ambition and the aggressive attitude that he had. He wasn't afraid to tackle any kind of a problem or take on any kind of an activity or responsibility. So because of his ambition and his aggressive approach, he became a recognized businessman in the Polish community in Detroit. From there he spread out to become involved in various organizational activities. Polish Roman Catholic Union, he became a president of that organization. And then he was president of several other organizations. He became a banker, director of a bank. He, even though he had limitations, he didn't have the education that you would think the person would require in order to obtain the positions he did. And eventually, he became a very successful businessman. And he gambled. He always never stopped at any obstacle, or he never thought the job was too big for him. As a consequence, he went bankrupt on two occasions because he kind of flew higher than his wings could carry him. And only because he didn't have the educational background. All the education he had when he came to this country, he got it in night school. Mm-hmm. And of course there was a limited time where he could, but he was interested. When I was just a boy, I noticed that in his office he had books on every subject imaginable, except he didn't have the time to read them. So,
do you think that there was, I don't know, do you feel like maybe there was any problems? How did the people, how did the Americans, do you think, reacted to the immigrants coming to the United States?
Well,
what were their feelings about it?
Distinctly, there was a distinct discrimination. The people who came here, be they Italians or Germans or Irish or whatever they were, if they were immigrants, they had a rough time, and so there was resentment, particularly on the people who were already established here. Most of them were either Irish or German. So the immigrants who came here saw that they had to create ghettos where they would get away from the discrimination, and set up their own banks, their own butcher shops, their own grocery stores, their own haberdasheries. It held true not only for the Polish people, but the Italians, likewise, who were coming here in large numbers as the Poles did, and then, of course, other ethnic groups. But they didn't depend on the government for any help. They very much appreciated the fact that they could do what they wanted to do without interference from the government. Mm-hmm. And the one particular observation I made as I kept growing up was how quickly the immigrants became acquainted with our capitalistic system. Not all of them, but the very ambitious ones, and the ones that got just a little bit of an education, quickly learned that the only way you could get ahead in this country was to appreciate the opportunities that the capitalistic system afforded. For example, they would work for an employer, but they didn't depend on that weekly pay for the subsistence. They did something in the evenings, they worked weekends, they more or less, modern term of day is moonlighting. They went moonlighting. Wherever there was a chance to make an extra buck, besides the, in those days they didn't get checks, everything was in cash. People were paid off in cash. They didn't depend on that weekly cash payment for their labor. They went out and augmented their livelihood by doing extracurricular things. And they were all very anxious that their children would get a good education so that they would be in a better position to get ahead.
What was it like for you going to school? Were you able to get a good education?
We didn't have counselors, we didn't have anybody overseeing the individual kids that were in class. The only observation that I made when I was just a kid was that and the only effort that was made to help the children was that they segregated them according to classes. In other words, if there were 100 kids in the first grade, they would quickly learn which ones were the quick learners, which ones were slower, and which ones were particularly slow. And so they always had A, B, C, D classes. Mm-hmm. They never bunched up all the kids in one class and just mixed them up. The children that were more mature and picked up the the classwork faster were usually put in Class A. Then there was a Class B and Class C. But if a student wasn't doing so good, he was stripped down his own. There was nobody helping. The parents couldn't help him, because most of the immigrants that came here, they couldn't read or write. In my case, both my mother and my father could read and write, but they were too busy to help the individuals. There were seven kids in the family, and my mother had enough work around the house, doing the household work, cooking for seven kids. And my dad was an ambitious businessman, and he was out making a dollar wherever he could. And the kids were strictly on their own. And that probably was one of the big mistakes of most of the immigrants, that they had an idea that when they send the child to school, the school was going to implant him with everything that he needs to go ahead. So if a student or pupil in the elementary school was fortunate to be in a classroom where a teacher was perhaps better educated than other teachers and understood the kids better, and was in a position to see which ones had deficiencies and then try to help them. But if you didn't have a teacher like that, well, then you were strictly on your own. You had to do the best you could. And I was one who had the misfortune of having bad teachers, especially in elementary school. Mm-hmm. They cared less whether you could read or write. But yet, in spite of that, it was unthinkable for any kid in the elementary school to leave the eighth grade without knowing how to add, subtract, and how to read. And every student had that, and that was about all they knew. Very few of them went on to high school, because they came from poor families and they got themselves jobs. And some of these kids were brilliant kids, but they never got the chance to progress or go ahead because the money wasn't there to send them to high school or to college. And so they wound up as laborers. But as I recall, many of the kids in class were brilliant students. In later life, when I saw them, I couldn't believe that they wound up just being ordinary citizens.
What was it like socially, like as a social life? What did you do for entertainment or pleasure?
Well, the world at that time moved at a slower pace. When I was about 8, 9 years old, the horse and wagon were the prime means of transportation, and I certainly lived in an interesting era because I saw the transportation graduate from the horse and the wagon to the automobile to the airplane to the fast jet airplanes. But things moved a little bit slower then, but everything seemed to make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. It was unfortunate, for example, that they'd done away with the streetcars, with the interurban transportation. And I was just a young boy. I could have gone anywhere in the state. I could have gone anywhere in the country without any difficulty. If I wanted to go downtown, I took a streetcar. If I wanted to go on the west side of the city, I took a streetcar. And it took you just exactly where you wanted to go. So, there was no problem with transportation. I attended the school about 25, when I went to high school, I went to a boarding school 25 miles away from from my home. And I had absolutely no trouble commuting. Of course, I came home only weekends. But all I had to do was go on Woodward Avenue and catch an interurban car. Took me right directly to where I wanted to go. You could have gone anywhere in the state, by either interurban or you had the railroads at the places. Of course, then when the automobile came to be, why they got away with all that.
What was it like when the automobiles first started running on the roads? Do you remember the first automobile that you saw or that you rode in? Or?
Yeah, my dad had a big old automobile. And the only trouble with it was that most often it wasn't running. It was difficult to start. I distinctly remember him once, and the automobiles were cranking. And we had to get them in front of the radiator, you had a crank, and you cranked it up to start it. And I remember distinctly how my dad once was cranking it, and it backfired, and it threw him over to four or five feet where he was cranking. But so so often I remember how he would take the whole family in this big Oldsmobile to Belle Isle and then have to make arrangements for the horse to come to the island to pull the car back in the garage. Because he had a horse at the same time that he got this first automobile. And that horse pulled that automobile many a time. So the cars weren't quite that perfected until Henry Ford came up with the Model T. And that was the most practical automobile ever invented. Everybody knew how to operate it. It would take you places. It was a good piece of mechanism. And it was so simple that kids learned to be automobile mechanics because they took these engines apart. And these are only 10, 12-year-old kids, and they would take the Model T and take it completely apart and put it back together. And so they learned from experience something about mechanics. And
how did people feel about the coming of automobiles? Did they think it was a good invention? Was it good for the people at the time? Did they feel that it was a step up for them?
They took to it pretty good because the horse started disappearing real fast, and I was about, I don't know, could have been about 8 years old. And nothing but horse and wagons, and it was a beautiful sight though, because the people, more affluent people, traveled in carriages, and they were good looking wagons. A lot of the more affluent people had runabouts with, you know, they had a nice looking horse, and a delicate looking type of wagon. But, and then of course, the regular transportation had regular horses. For example, ice wagons were pulled by horses. Practically everything was transported by horse and wagon. But when Henry Ford began to sell these automobiles cheap enough for everybody to buy them, it seemed to me like it was almost overnight that the horse disappeared from the scene. And the automobiles took off. So,
what was our government like then around that same time?
Well, at that time, you had politicians don't change much, but conditions change. Most of the people who participated in government then had to have some semblance of larceny in their blood. They would, for example, the mayor would always make sure that he made an extra buck besides the salary they paid him.
So in essence, everyone ripped off the government, or
and they all took advantage of any political position they held. But the amount of money that they would abscond with or misappropriate was so minute that the people cared less, they more or less expected them to do things like that. But they also, but what they expected of them most was that they give them good government, that they have law and order, that the policeman be on the job, the fireman be on the job. They expected an efficient governmental machine. And so, even though the politician would put his hand in the till once in a while, it didn't matter so much, because if he was a good administrator, the people appreciated it. And there wasn't too much concern about those things. It was more or less expected. And then, of course, in time, some people began to object to politicians taking advantage of their public office. Mm-hmm. And so they began to elect a newer breed of politician, one who wasn't apt to take advantage of his political position because of wouldn't take advantage of his position to the extent that they would rip off the government. But you had a distinct difference there. The old politician would steal maybe $25, $50, or maybe $100, depending on how high up, maybe he'd steal $1,000. But the new politician came in, he didn't steal, but he screwed things up to a point where it cost the people 10 times as much to run the government as it did with the people who were absconding with a buck or two here and there. So they kind of messed things up. For example, I remember when you couldn't get a job in the fire department way back unless you knew somebody. That was a kind of a top-notch job. You couldn't be a policeman unless you knew somebody. But if you became a fireman or a policeman, by God, you did your job. I remember when the fire departments were operated with horses, you know, the engines were drawn by horses. Well, you could go into any fire house, and the horses were immaculate. They looked like they just got out of a beauty parlor. The firehouse was immaculate, clean as a whistle, because the firemen felt that, well, they don't sit there and wait for a fire, and they'd well clean the place up, and they did. Well, today, it's not so. Unless you have special janitors or sanitary engineers, as they're called, you don't have a clean public room. You got to have specialists. Everybody's got a job. So the firemen sit and play cards, waiting for a fire, and the janitor mops the floor. Because firemen don't mop floors anymore, or polish the engines like they do. So you don't have the kind of pride anymore. Everybody's a specialist, and the policeman doesn't try to prevent crime anymore like they did years ago. They attempted to prevent crime. Now the only time a policeman comes to a scene of anything that requires attention is when he's caught. Prevention is an everything. So it's kind of different in that respect. You got a different philosophy of government, you got a different attitude by public officials. in the way they apply themselves today, as opposed to the way that they applied themselves years ago.
What was our economy like then?
Well, there too, I distinctly remember the Depression. Of course, it didn't hit me or my family as hard. But in those days, you had no Social Security, no unemployment, and very little welfare. As a matter of fact, people thought it was un-American to go on a welfare. If anybody was on welfare, they hid. They didn't want anybody to know it. Because it was a kind of a stigma. And so they had to help themselves somehow. I don't know. I was just a kid then. I don't know how they did it. By God, they all got along. I don't remember ever seeing that people were hungry. They didn't have all the goodies that they have today. But they got along. And of course, sure, there were some that were real indigent and had their wages supplies. But they got along somehow.
Could you somehow feel at that time that people were they struggling or to make it? Or did people seem determined to make it through that period? And
yeah, they were all determined to make it. They all attempted to pick up a dollar the best way they can. They would do anything to make a dollar. And but there was no, as I recall, there was no thing to do about it. And the people that had a little saved up before the Depression came, they fared real well.